Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast, where author and speaker Bill Weiss and his wife Annette address the many questions and concerns that we all have about the topic of hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead should inspire us to invest the time we have left on earth wisely. Tune in for today's enlightening broadcast.
Thank you for joining my wife and I. Today I want to share with you 8 things that God said to me.
Now, many of you know, on November 23rd, 1998, God gave Bill an out-of-body experience that is classified as a vision in the Bible. And this was not a near-death experience, but a vision of hell.
That's right. You know, in 2 Corinthians 12:1 and 2, Paul, when he was caught up into heaven in a vision, he said whether in the body or out of the body, he didn't know. Well, the Lord showed me that I left my body. So in a vision, you can actually travel, like Paul and John did, to heaven. And in Ezekiel chapter 8, he was carried from Babylon to Jerusalem in his spirit body. 1 Corinthians 15:44 talks about a natural body and a spirit body. So that's what happened to me. I traveled to hell in my spirit body.
And Bill, you were a Christian at that point for 28 years.
That's right.
And you were serving God in the church in various capacities. Now, after seeing hell and all its horrors, you know, you were then being lifted out of hell and out of this dark, dark tunnel where it was full of demons.
Yes, but suddenly in this darkness, the Lord appeared in a bright light. Now, I didn't see his face, but just the outline of a man standing in this bright, pure, holy light. And I knew immediately who he was. And I said, "Jesus." And he said, "I am." When he said those two words, I fell to the ground. I don't know if I passed out or died, you know, just as John, when he saw him in Revelation 1:17, he said his countenance was bright as the sun, and I fell at his feet as one dead. Well, after a time, he touched me, and I came back to my awareness. And I was so, so very grateful that I was already a Christian, that I had been saved from hell. Now, I didn't want to ask him any questions. I just wanted to thank him and praise him for what he saved me from. Well, after a time, thoughts started coming to my mind, and he began to answer my thoughts, just as Psalms 139:2 says. And my first thought was, "Why did you send me to this horrible place?" And he said, "Because many people do not believe hell exists. Even some of my own people do not believe hell is real." Now, that statement surprised me because I thought all Christians believe in hell, but some believe in annihilationism, or universalism, or soul sleep, all of which are false. And he wanted me to point people to the scriptures.
And Bill, I know you didn't include this thought because the Lord did not answer you, but you did also think, why did he pick me?
Right, right. But you know, he did not give me an answer. So, you know, I was not a Billy Graham. I was just a real estate broker going to work like the rest of us. Now, I always loved the word and studied the word, but I wasn't anybody special at all, but he just didn't give me an answer.
I know. As a wife, I can just chime in here. I just have my humble opinion is because you loved the Word of God, always studied the Word, and you always walked steady with the Lord from the time you were saved, and you were faithful. And I think for those reasons, and you would point people to the Word of God. That's just my personal opinion, possibly of one of the reasons why he chose you. You know, he gives us all different assignments, but right. Faithfulness is a huge, huge, I think, requirement of why God picks certain people to do certain things.
Right. And because I do love the Word, I have always wanted to point people just to that. I'm just a signpost to point them to the scriptures and by those be persuaded. So, but praise God. Anyway, my second thought was, even though that was really my second, but he didn't answer. So my next thought was, why would anyone believe me? They will think that I had a bad dream or that I'm crazy. That's what I thought. He said, "It's not your job to convict their hearts. That responsibility belongs to the Holy Spirit. It is your part to go and tell them about this place and that it is not my desire that any should go there." Well, I said, "I'll go, of course." Now, however, I didn't want to share this experience with anyone. You know, I'm a conservative person by nature, and I didn't want to be identified with someone that says they've been to hell. But I did have a burden and a passion to witness to everyone. Now, I only shared this experience with one close friend and my mother. Well, it spread from there, and we began getting invited all over the country for the next 7 years. And that was prior to the book. Now, my next thought was, why did those demons hate me so much? He said, because you are made in my image, and they hate me. John 15:18, Jesus said, they hated me before they hated you. You know, demons hate God, but they cannot hurt him, but they can hurt his creation. That's why we see in John 10:10, Jesus says, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You know, the destruction we see in this life is all from the demonic realm and the evil and the sickness and so forth. But God came to give us life. We serve a good and a loving God. Now, number four, my next thought was those demons are so powerful. I thought that. And Jesus said, all you have to do is cast them out in my name. Now, suddenly they appeared to look like ants on the wall of this cavern. Yet some of them were 12 and 13 feet tall, but they appeared so small. Now, I believed he was showing me that when using the name of Jesus, demons are no threat and no comparison. They are not to be feared, just as an ant wouldn't be. You know, we have been given the authority to use the name of Jesus, and demons must obey that name, as Luke 10:19 states.
And that's for Christians. If you are right. A born-again believer in Jesus Christ and walking with him, and you're not living in a lifestyle of sin or compromise, you'll have that boldness to rise up and take authority in the name of Jesus.
That's right. That's right. Now, my fifth thought was, why didn't I know you? He said, I kept it from you. You see, if I was there as a Christian, which I was, but I didn't realize, I would have known, praise God, he's getting me out of this horrible place. But as an unsaved person, he wanted me to experience what they feel, hopelessness. You know, on earth, we always have some form of hope. Even amidst the most direful situations, we can always die to escape the pain. But in hell, you understand that your soul cannot die and you will never escape. And to understand that you are lost forever was by far the worst part of hell. You know, Isaiah 38:18 says, those who go down to the pit cannot hope for thy truth. And we know Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. They have no hope for him because it's too late. And again, that's the worst part of hell. Now, I want to explain for a moment scripturally how God had blocked it from my mind that I was a Christian. In Luke 24:16, where Jesus appeared to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, it says, quote, their eyes were restrained that they should not know him. John MacArthur's commentary, page 1335, says, quote, they were kept by God from recognizing him. Well, God had hidden it from their minds, and he did from my mind in order for me to experience the hopelessness. Now, the sixth thing I thought was, well, I saw a vapor of smoke. I thought, what was that? Well, I believed it was the Lord speaking to my mind and heart, saying, it's your life. Now, I felt in my heart that we don't have much time in life, but what we do for him, he will reward us for all eternity. I had that understanding in my spirit, and that gave me a better overall eternal perspective. You know, James 4:14 says, life is but a vapor. Life is so very short in comparison to eternity. If we as Christians could grasp that fact, we would be attending more to the things of God and not focusing on things of little or no importance. Now, my seventh thought was, and I heard these words in my spirit, my people make excuses why they don't witness. They say, I didn't feel led. They fear man rather than God. That's what I heard. Now, of course, we all need to be led by the Holy Spirit, in witnessing and so forth. But however, many times we use that as an excuse to refrain from sharing the way of salvation with others because we fear people rather than God. And we should have a healthy, reverential fear of Almighty God. And he's called us all to share the gospel. You know, and the last thing he said to me was, tell them I am coming very, very soon. Then he repeated himself and said it again. Tell them I am coming very, very soon. Now, I felt in my heart that we are near the end. We don't have much time. I felt an urgency to share the way of salvation with others. Now, I believed he has delayed his coming, as the scripture says in Matthew 25:5, so more people have the opportunity to turn from sin, repent, and give their lives to Jesus. However, that window of opportunity is rapidly coming to a close.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to subscribe, rate this program, and share it on social media outlets. To stay in touch with us and learn more about this ministry, consider checking out our resources at soulchoiceministries.org.